Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wise guys downtown, I'm there. I'm not going to miss it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. If you're listening, that voice you hear is Heather Gay from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She's got a new book out called Bad Mormon. I have it on my Kindle. Let's see if we could get the cover up. I don't know. These Kindles are so slow. But Heather, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to, one, be on Everything Iconic and to talk about Bad Mormon.
Welcome back. How are you feeling? The book's coming out. The show just wrapped. As of this recording, I haven't seen any of the reunion, but the reunion's about to air and the finale aired. So you've already filmed the reunion. Are you emotionally at a, you must be a bundle of nerves right now with all of this going on.
Yeah, I'm a bundle of nerves, but it's in a different way. You know, Housewives is a lot. And it's just kind of, I mean, I talk about it in the book a little bit too. It's like an ocean of stuff every episode, every week. It's just new stuff, new memes, new personalities, new experiences. So while it's filming, it's a lot, but that's coming down. And then I'm about to give birth to this baby, which is my book. And the book is kind of like the fruits of all my labor. And it's something that I can't believe came. It was a dream come true because of Housewives. So as the season's ending and I'm able to like launch the book, it feels like stepping off of really shaky ground onto something solid that I can support and stand behind and be really, really proud of. You know, I'm not always proud of what I am on Housewives, but I am very proud of this book.
Heather, you had a rough season. You had a rough season. Do you feel like you had a rough season?
Yeah, of course. I feel like I had a rough season. I mean, I knew getting into this that no one goes through unscathed. You know, this is kind of the up and down of it all. But for me, it was especially hard because it felt like the story was taken away from me in a way that I've never experienced before. And it was kind of a rude awakening to the underbelly of reality TV, because I had really only experienced the highs, you know, the love, the support, the fandom. And for someone that had just been brought into this life from a life completely unlike it, it was, you know, it was manna to my soul. It really did fill me and it made me feel safe. And so it was kind of good that it got broken down a little bit, because now I can go back to rebuilding, which, you know, we know I'm good at. If there's anyone that can lift their life out of the ashes, it is me. I've proven it time and again.
Well, and if there's one thing I've known from observing Bravo, it's that they like to take us on this roller coaster. So they want to us to question our fan favorites, and they want to, you know, everyone, like you said, comes out, no one comes out unscathed. So everyone has a season where it's not great, but I want to talk about this season because the big thing was the black eye. Now, Heather, you have to tell me what happened with the black eye.
Yeah. I know. And this is like, I'm like, if I can talk to Danny about the black eye, I'll spill the beans. I mean, the black eye is really the sixth housewife this season. You know what I mean? It had its own life. But the truth about the black eye is that I blacked out, drank too much, went to sleep and woke up with it, not face down in a gutter, but just laying in my bed. And I assumed, because I was on a reality television show with cameras following me from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed, that that would be revealed through the footage. And so it was embarrassing and it was scary, but I was told there was footage. And so I assumed that it would ultimately be revealed.
So were you given any sense of like why the footage wasn't released if there was footage?
No.
Okay. What's going on, Heather? We need answers to this. Okay. Let me put on my monocle.
I mean, there is no footage of me actually getting the black eye. They say there's footage of people confessing to the black eye, but I was playing coy because I had no memory, and I'm not going to point the fingers at any theory if I don't have incontrovertible proof. And I assumed that it would be revealed to me.
So who was allegedly the one who said they did it?
They said they had footage of everything, but there were cameras in my bedroom. There were cameras where I brushed my teeth. I think I hid it on a cabinet brushing my teeth, but they said there would have been footage of that. So I thought that's what the footage reveal would be. But the way it happened, I mean, there was so much going on behind the scenes, everyone talking about it and no one having a definitive answer. So I thought if I closed it down and said, I'm safe, we're safe, let's just move on. But that just added to the conspiracy.
Yeah, because from the viewing audience, I think it was hard because it almost felt like everyone knew but wasn't telling us. Or you had said a couple times, like, well, they know, or you know, or... And then It was frustrating to watch because we felt like, well, if somebody knows this, why isn't anyone telling us? And then we see you in the confessional and the producers are saying, well, who did this? And you don't say. And it's like, so the storyline kept going. And I think I've said this on the show, but I think production on some level should have either cut it. If they didn't know or didn't want to tell us, then like they should have cut the storyline because it just was an infuriating thing to watch.
I agree with you. And yeah. I kind of feel like I was the victim of that, you know?
So it was Angie or Jen?
It was Angie Harrington, you know? She packs the mean right punch.
She showed up later.
She's like, I wasn't invited. And she snuck in my room and she socked me. I mean, if I knew it, I would say it. I wasn't trying to protect anyone, but the magic of reality television and the fact that I'm on a show with cameras watching me every single minute. I had vague theories and memories, but nothing incontrovertible. And I didn't want to step out and say anything unless I knew it to be true. I was embarrassed and ashamed.
So you won't tell me who allegedly said they did it.
There's multiple theories out there and they are all most likely false.
Will we ever get closure on this storyline? Do you think will either production or you be able to release more information on this ever?
I have told everything I can tell, what I have remembered, what I didn't remember to a multitude of people, attorneys, doctors, and I am the last person to clarify this. I'm the one that woke up with a black eye and no memory of how I got it. And the theories that I have been disproven. So,
see, this all feels like it makes more sense to me now. It feels like, yeah. Okay. In a weird way.
I don't want to leave. I mean, I'm a Housewives fan. I don't want to watch this type of BS either. And I certainly don't want to watch it and film with a giant black eye. Yeah. You know, like.
Well, I think we were confused too. Why did Jen have the eye patch in her bag? Like she came on the trip with the eye patch. I mean, I know she brought a whole ton of shit in that bag, but like
she had a couple different costume things and an eye patch happened to be one of the, it was like a pirate costume that was part of her, I think maybe the Grecian knight. I don't know, but it was some accessory to a costume. And she was like, I have an eye patch. And wasn't the first time that I've seen an eye patch in my life. I was like, I'll take it and film. I probably should have gone home, but I stayed and I filmed with it.
Let me talk about the Whitney Wild Rose of it all, because I didn't understand why Whitney got so upset with you from the get-go of the season. She said it was because you were there when there was a rumor about Lisa sucking dick for Jazz tickets and all that kind of thing. And you were saying you didn't know this thing, but then it seemed to snowball. And I wondered, was there something maybe we didn't see, or was it like just confusing to you guys?
Well, I mean, that was just confusing to me because I had no memory of anything. That is the type of thing that I would turn my ear to. Blowies for basketball seats. I'm not going to turn a blind eye or ear to that. And I knew I'd never heard it, but I had just talked to her in San Diego in that room where she said all of these things about sexual favors for Vita Tequila. So when she was saying Heather knows, I was like, from the hour ago in the bedroom, that's what I'm copying to now. And then when it became the Jazz game, that was absolutely out of my scope. I had no knowledge of that whatsoever. And she felt like that was a cousin moment where I should have said, I'll ask, back her up and ask questions later. And I was so confused by it that I couldn't back her up and I wouldn't back her up. I never heard her say that. I never heard Angie say that. I don't even know where those special courtside seats are. And if I did, I'd be finding ways to sit there.
Right. I love that storyline. I mean, it made me laugh. That whole thing really made me laugh. But so is there any hope for you and Whitney in the future? I saw online you had refollowed her, and then she had like tweeted, oh, she refollowed me now that her friend's going to prison. And
Whitney was Jen's friend too. That whole season, Whitney was courting Jen to be her friend. So that was a little bit of a low blow. And I am not following Whitney, and I don't want to follow her right now. I feel like her content is mean and angry and reaching, and it's nothing I want in my feed.
Is it someone doing it for her?
I don't know. We haven't spoken.
Okay, but wait. I suppose like the fan response or the question we have watching it is, you're so forgiving of Jen and everything that she has said or done to you and all that kind of stuff. And we've heard you say how much of a ride or die you are, but then it seems, like hard for you to get over this thing with Whitney. Do you feel that? Or is there something we're missing, a piece of the puzzle?
There's a piece of the puzzle you're missing, which is that after that fight, Whitney and I had resolve and we were good. But then when the cameras came back up, it was like suddenly there was supposed to be drama. And it wasn't even really when the cameras came up. It was really when I saw the episodes play back, you know, a year later, and I saw what she was saying in confessionals, and I saw kind of the storyline she was creating. And that wasn't my experience. And that was doubly hurtful. And, you know, I came into this meeting Jen, and I have known Whitney, and we had a bond that was much more sacred than my relationship with Jen. And I forgave Jen because Jen apologized and it was real, but Whitney didn't apologize for what was fake. So how do you just move on from that?
Yeah. So we'll see that play out a little bit more on Ultimate Girls Trip, right? Because the two of you are on season 3 of Girls Trip.
Yeah. And we were excited to go. We talked about it. We were so thrilled to go. And I was hoping this was like Bad Weather back, but she really doesn't want to be a part of Bad Weather. She doesn't want to be my friend. And when someone that you have loved and been that close to really makes a bold move like that, that's out of character, it's really hard for me to recover from. Like, I would rather sleep with a snake knowing what might happen than go to sleep with a kitten and wake up with my eyes scratched out. You know, it hurts more somehow. It feels like a bigger slap in the face. And I considered Whitney to be on a much deeper level of friendship than I did Jen.
Speaking of scratches, that was the other thing with the black eye. You had the scratches too. It's like, what was going on with the scratches? That,
I think the scratches, I don't know, but I think the scratches had to be from I had to run on the beach and fight in those balls and the sand castle contest. And, you know, we had been roughhousing, and the things I saw myself do that night, you know, it's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing for me. You know, I wasn't really, I just was in a lot of, I think, I just wasn't happy. You know, I didn't want to be on that trip. No one wanted me on that trip. And Whitney was courting Lisa and Jen to be her besties. And I was just out in the cold. And, you know, I self-medicated a little too hard, and I shouldn't have.
I don't buy the Whitney and Lisa of it all. I don't think they're actually friends at all. And they've seemed to have created an alliance, but I think anyone can sort of see through that, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not into an alliance game. I'm either all in and I'm your friend and I'm going to try to be ride or die as long as I can, or I'm just not going to do it. I don't want strategic friendships. I want real ones or enemies. I'm more comfortable with that.
Do you see a future with Lisa? Like the two of you? Okay.
Yeah. A future of us just fighting like cat and mouse for the rest of our lives. That's why we're probably cast on this show.
That's true. Do you want Mary back? There's all these rumors about Mary coming back, and I
want
to see her.
Of course I want Mary back. Mary's a softball of great reality television. I want the show to be successful. I want the show to be funny. I want the show to be what Original Housewives was, which was, you know, kind of iconic personalities that just, you have no idea what to expect. Anytime Mary walks in the room, all bets are off. Anything can happen. And I think that's kind of thrilling, both as a friend and as a, you know, housewife fan.
She'll be back, right? Do we think she'll be back?
I have to ask Bravo.
Okay.
I don't make any of those decisions.
Out of the friend ofs this season, Dana, which I was so pissed that they didn't show. Everyone's been talking about this online. There was this moment from the trailer with Dana and Jen Shah that was cut from the episodes. And I was devastated about it, but it felt like Dana had some good stuff in her, but then we never saw any of it. So who of the friend ofs do you think should be back?
Listen, I love Angie Harrington. I love her. It's easy. It's effortless friendship. It's hilarious banter. She is zany. She is made for TV. She's beautiful and funny. And that's who I'd rather hang out with all day, every day. I could lunch and reality TV with Angie all day, every day.
Yeah. Okay. I got to ask you about the sentencing. Jen Shah just happened 6.5 years. What was your initial reaction to all of that?
I was glad the sentencing finally happened. It had been dragged out for so long. And when she pled guilty for me, everything changed. And when the sentencing came around, I was glad for it to be over. But, you know, I'm not her judge or jury. I just really want the victims to get restitution. You know, I fight for the underdog and I want those victims to be made whole and for all of the collateral damage of this journey we've been on with her to be resolved. You know, I pray for her mom. I pray for her children. I think that there's a lot of things that she's going to be making up for the rest of her life.
Will she be someone you keep in contact with when she goes away?
You know, I'm going to definitely send her a copy of the book. She's in it and she's read her section and she will, I think it'll make a good companion when she's in prison.
Yeah. You could send her my book too, if she needs a laugh. We'll send her.
Your book's a great laugh. Your book is the same as my book. I feel like it's beautiful, sad, funny, and true. And that is what you want from a book. You know, you want to know the behind the scenes, but you also want to know, you know, you want to hear their voice. And you are a funny comedian, but you also have dark times too, like we all do. And I think we need to recognize that everyone has potential for the whole gamut, you know?
Well, and what I thought was interesting about Bad Mormon is that we've seen your experience with the Mormon community play out a little bit on the show, but I think we get such a much more detailed account of it in the book. And I've always found the storyline super fascinating and your experience with religion and the community. And so it's nice to be able to sit down and read and say, oh, look, this is her experience here in an unedited, without cutting away to see Lisa sing away in a manger, which I love too, but you know, we get a deeper look at it all.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with much more from Heather Gay. Now, I know I promised this episode sooner on the podcast feed. Unfortunately, the book PR team asked me to change course and it was out of my control and also very frustrating, but that's a tale for another time. Maybe at the live shows, we'll share a little more, but come see me at the live shows. I'm going to be in Salt Lake City, speaking of. So get tickets at everythingiconic.com. At the top of that page, there's a link that says live shows. I'll also put it in the episode description on the podcast. But you can come see me in Salt Lake City, Seattle, and Denver, Colorado in April. I cannot wait. And we'll spill some tea. We'll get some, there'll be some stuff. There'll be a good time and there'll be some stuff. So come see the live shows. I want to thank Acast, and we'll be right back. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. I got to ask, getting back to the show a little bit, with Jenny, did you guys film with Jenny before she was let go? Because I was under the impression that maybe we would see that play out because she was supposed to come back, I think.
I mean, I did not ever film with her after the whole debacle. I know that Jen and Meredith did, but I didn't mention her at all in the book because she was such a small part of it and she was gone so quickly. And I also didn't want her honor that legacy of just kind of racism and problematic violence inside, you know, it wasn't a part of my story. And I just really tried to stick to my story in the book and my experience. I didn't want to tell anyone else's. I didn't want to assassinate anyone's character. I just want to be respectful of the life I came from and the life I'm trying to live authentically now.
How are your family and the people around you responding to the book? I mean, I know that's something that we've seen you talk about being nervous about and sharing all of this. Like, how are they reacting now?
So my immediate family has definitely changed. We don't speak of the book. We don't speak of the show. We don't speak much at all. That dynamic has been really painful and it's so fresh. I'm not sure how that's going to play out if their neighbors start coming up to them saying they read the book. But there's fallout. You know, there's fallout with my closest friends. There's fallout with just the general community at large. You know, my kids go to school with Mormons. There's Mormons on my street. There's a Mormon church where you enter my street and where you leave my street. And I had to expect some blowback putting my name and my face on a book called Bad Mormon. But the reality of it is it's really real. You know, it's here. I live it. When my kids don't get asked to a dance, I secretly feel like it's my fault because some mom's saying, you're not taking her. She doesn't have any standards or morality. You know, she's not Mormon anymore. Like, that's kind of how you fall off a cliff. Well, they're my friends too. Those moms are my friends. And so you feel the exclusion and the microaggressions immediately, even when you go to a party with your family and they're like, so have you been keeping busy? And you're like, yeah, I've been on 3 shows. I wrote a book. I'm getting torn up on social media, but no, pass the bread. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's just to be invisible is what I've always felt would happen when I left the church. And it's real. The show is the only thing that's really kept me going.
I'm sorry. On the flip side of it, have there been other people who've reached out and shared their similar experience? Because I'd imagine there are also a whole slew of people who are so grateful for you speaking out.
That's kind of how I end the book. You know, this, I gave up a lot. I knew I was giving it up. I didn't think like, love me, like me. I'm going to, you know, reveal all your most deepest secrets. But I have found this community of other people who feel the same as I do. And they're not Mormons. It's anyone that really questions, you know, if I live my authentic self, is that going to disappoint my parents? Is that going to disappoint my friends? Is that, you know, like where to draw the line when who you are hurts the people you love? And I think that those people reaching out to me just from the show, recognizing the similarities, have created a new community for me, a new, support group and a new identity that I was scared would be lost forever. Right. I mean, outer darkness is not full of people, but apparently on earth it is, because there is a community out there that has embraced me and loved me. And I feel like they made it all worth it.
Forgive me. Maybe I'm just forgetting or I'm being dumb for a minute, but Lisa is still a practicing Mormon, right? Or am I making that up? Is anyone on the cast?
I am not the one to point out if someone is not practicing their faith or not, but I believe she still identifies with the church and attends church and is looking to get back into church. But she was a practicing Mormon for the majority of her life, for sure.
So what's her response to it? Like, we've seen your relationship on the show, but I wonder, does she have any maybe like personal opinions that she's expressed to you about this?
No, she hasn't expressed anything. Like, that's the thing about Lisa, is she doesn't care if you like her or not, or she doesn't care what you do. She likes herself enough for all of us. So she doesn't know what's written about her in the book, and she probably will never read it. And she probably won't care anyway.
Yeah. What do you hope? Do you guys have any plans for next season of the show? Is there a plan of when filming is going to start? You probably can't tell me any of that, but
I don't know any of that. You'd have to ask Bravo for all of that.
I'm sorry. Just from Bravo, she can't speak to that quite yet.
Okay, cool. Anything you want to clear up from the last season of The Real Housewives?
Just listen, I signed up for this, you know, and I am deeply, deeply grateful to Housewives, because without Housewives, this book never would have happened. Coming out of the closet of Mormonism would never have happened. And I wouldn't have fundamentally changed the lives of my girls forever. And that is really why I wrote the book. That is why I am willing to take the hits and the accolades, because it's worth it. I mean, I wrote this book because if I was going to break the legacy of like every generation before me that has been tried and true Mormon pioneer, I wanted to make sure no stone was unturned and that I told my story as authentically and as respectfully as possible. And I know I said things in here that people will be shocked by and that they'll be hurt by and feel betrayed by, but I tried to be respectful and still respect my authentic experience as I learned all these things for myself.
Well, I thought it was beautiful. Your life is fascinating in general, but I thought you did such a beautiful job of explaining in the book your opinion, your views. And also we get to read about things like, motherhood and your relationships. There's so much more in the book as well that I think people will really be able to relate to and feel seen by, I think. So
yeah, the book's not at all about me being a housewife. It's about my life before and being a mom and being just thrown into this new life that was, you know, never, ever even a dream or a cloud on the horizon. You know, I was just getting up and going through the motions and everything changed.
Have you heard from Rihanna lately? I know Rihanna follows you on Instagram. She only follows a select few of people.
She's getting a copy of Bad Mormon, and she is. That's the thing, is when the chips are down, if Rihanna and Chrissy Teigen are still in your corner, I mean, how can you complain?
I know. It's like if Rihanna likes you, that's all you need. I mean, honestly. And yeah, she's just the best. I'm so excited for the Super Bowl. Okay, let me get your take on some of the other housewives. Are you watching the other franchises right now?
I'm a big fan of Miami, but I've really just been focusing on this book, Danny. This is really...
I know you're busy. You're busy. Did you get along with all the people on Girls Trip? Or is there friction with anyone besides Whitney?
There's always friction when you throw six alpha women in a room and on a yacht. But we had a great time. There was a lot of fun. I saw Giselle at the photo shoot. And she said, "We had fun. Didn't we have fun?" I said, "Yeah, learning and getting called out can be fun. It can be fun to learn things about yourself." No, we had a great time. It was an incredible, incredible experience. I feel really lucky to have done it.
I'm so excited. As of this recording, we haven't heard any information about when it's coming or whatever, but there have been rumors on the internet. I'm very fascinated. There's this rumor about Leah throwing poop at an elephant thing or something. And it seems so crazy that I'm so excited to watch it all play out.
Well, yes, yes. You have to stay tuned.
Okay. Heather, I think I got it. Oh, the last thing I want to ask you is in the finale, we see this scene where you're talking about Coach Shaw and you sort of implicate that he knew a lot more than maybe you had previously thought. Is there anything else you could tell me about that scene or your feelings in terms of Coach Shaw at all?
Yeah, that scene unfolded as it was happening. I mean, I was in New York with Coach and Jen saying, "We're going to fight this. God is with us. She is innocent. We're going to prove her innocent." And I went home and then got a call that she was pleading guilty and then met with Lisa for lunch the next day. So you were seeing me just wrapping my mind around how everything would have changed overnight and what my theories are. And, you know, I'm not the judge or jury. I just think the victims are what we need to focus on. They need to be made full restitution, and, we just need to hope and pray for that and for the collateral damage, not just of Coach Shaw, but the entire family, you know?
You must have felt some betrayal after defending so long the innocence and then to find out it wasn't.
Yeah, you feel like a fool. You feel like a fool. But in the book, I really write about, you know, be taking from a life that I had no experience in any of this and being kind of thrown into it and meeting Jen Shaw I met Jen Shaw at the beginning of filming, and to be kind of dazzled by all of it and this lavish lifestyle. Where does the money come from? And then to find out later that it was all a lie. You know, I never, ever regret defending my friends when they are telling me they need my support and they are innocent. That is who I am. That is who I want to be. But when you plead guilty to horrible things, you have to make it right. And that is where I stand now.
Heather, I always love chatting with you. You know that. Thank you so much. I want to encourage everyone to go check out this book, Bad Mormon. It's out officially on the 7th, I believe, February 7th, correct? And is there an audiobook?
There is an audiobook that I narrated.
How myself. Was the narration? That was
I freaking loved it. I asked, like, do you have other books you'd like me to read, perhaps? I mean, that's my zone. I'm a reader. I'm a writer. I wanted to just be in, but it was pretty meta to hear it back, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hearing your own voice, reading your own story, that was a little bit crazy. But yeah, the audiobook should be great. You know, I wrote every word of this book. And so
I so really, you didn't I use a ghostwriter, Heather?
No, I mean, no book is a one woman show, but I absolutely wrote every word of this book and can defend. You could tell me a page number, Danny, and I could tell you exactly the word choice and why.
Well, as a ghostwriter myself, that's not very, that's not always the case, especially when it comes to housewife books.
That's what I'm so passionate about, is because I knew that I had to tell the story from my perspective. It's very nuanced. It's very subtle, but it was really for my children. I wanted them to know why we left the church and why their mom behaves the way she does.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How are the girls? How did they feel after the season?
You know, it's been a hard season for them. There is a lot of bullying. There's a lot of mean people online. Ashley's of age now. She's 19. So they hit her hard with it. But the thing is, we've been through rough times. Like, these girls have seen me at my darkest, and they have rallied around me and supported me. And they are happy to see their mom. So happy. I mean, they are my biggest champions, and we're in it for the good, the bad, the ugly, because we have pulled ourselves out of something that I never thought we could have. And that was leaving the church.
Well, I just want to encourage everyone online, do not go after the kids or tweet anything at the kids or Instagram anything with the kids. Like, we have to all remember this is a TV show as well. And so, like I said earlier, we're all on this roller coaster ride together. And so although people might not have the best season, one season, we all come back from it. And that's the ride we sign up for with Bravo. And so we just appreciate, I want to thank you for opening up your life and to being so vulnerable about all of this stuff, because that's what I think makes the best housewives, is when they're not afraid to show these different sides of themselves. Because if everything is all sunshine and rainbows all the time, it's A, not going to be good TV, but it's also inauthentic. So Heather, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. And I will see you in Salt Lake. I've got to come to Beauty Lab and Laser. I just got to see the parking lot where the Homeland Security showed up.
Oh, you got
to
see it all. We'll get you a t-shirt. We'll merch you out. You're in our town now. We got to show you. We're proud of our town.
My dream.
We'll show you around.
And speaking of, just everyone can go get tickets at everythingiconic.com and be in Salt Lake City. Heather,
I will be there. I will be there taking selfies with and trying to steal the spotlight from Danny. So show up. Please.
I'm going to make you come on stage and... Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I'll wear a great outfit.
Can you bring the eye patch? Do we have the eye patch?
Angie Katsanavis took the eye patch from the party. She brought it to me at the party, but then I heard she took it home. Oh, no, I think production got it back. So yeah, I'll try to find the iconic eye patch.
They should put that
Danny,
in the
clubhouse. I actually don't really want to talk about the black eye anymore. It's really a black eye on my life. Well, so I might not wear the patch.
Isn't that the funny thing?
That's what got me in trouble.
Isn't that the funny thing though? I know. And the funny thing is though, like I feel like everyone's saying they're so tired of the eye thing, but we also want answers. And so it's like, even preparing for this interview, I'm like, I know. We're all tired of the eye patch thing. But then also, I know everyone, if I didn't ask you about the eye patch, they'd be like, why didn't you ask about the eye patch?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I'm the one that woke up with a black eye and didn't want to talk about it. And that's reality television. That's all we're talking about.
Oh my God. Well, we're going to change.
We're going to talk about it.
We're going to change the conversation to Bad Mormon. Everyone's going to pick it up February 7th. Heather, thank you so much for your time. All my love. And I will hopefully see you very soon in April.
Yes. See you soon. See you in April.
Congratulations, Heather. Thank you so much.
Thank you.